If you want to turn to Ephesians 1:3, that's going to be the text for our lesson this morning. Ephesians 1:3, that's going to be one of many texts. But this is going to be the one that we're going to focus on. Ephesians 1:3. And I apologize for my coughing up front. I'll do the best I can here, but having a real struggle with that. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I want to focus on those two words, in Christ. Since every spiritual blessing, and notice it said every. It said every. That means all of them. Since every spiritual blessing is found in Christ, how many spiritual blessings are there found outside of Christ? None. If they're all in, then there's none out. The spiritual blessings we receive are as a result of being in Christ. And we're going to look at several of those today. In my preparation for this lesson, when I printed this out this morning, it was about 20 pages long. There are a lot of them, but we're not going to have time to go over all of them, or we'll be wrapping that up about 3 o'clock this afternoon. So what we're going to do here is we're going to hit some of the high points. The first spiritual blessing we want to look at this morning is you're a child of God. You're a child of God. That's a pretty good spiritual blessing, wouldn't you say? Galatians 3:26-27. If you want to follow along, we are going to be looking at a lot of Scripture this morning. So those of you that are following along, I apologize. I'm going to try to get as many of these in as I can, but we're going to be moving pretty fast. Galatians 3:26-27. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The word "for" at the beginning of verse 27 introduces a continuing thought from verse 26. Obviously, baptism is a necessary component of faith. We're all children of God by faith. Another spiritual blessing that we have through being in Christ is we're saved by grace through faith. In Ephesians 2:7-10, if you want to turn to that. Ephesians 2:7-10. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus there, starting in verse 7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now a lot of people will stop right there. And they won't read the next verse. For we are his workmanship. This is verse 10. Created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We're saved by grace through faith. But we're not saved by grace alone through faith alone. That's very obvious if you'll just read on past verse 9. Just keep on reading and get the whole picture there. Another spiritual blessing, number 3, is we're redeemed from the curse of the law of Moses. As we've learned in our lessons on Galatians, those living under the law of Moses were living under the curse, the condemnation of sin. Galatians 3:13. We've looked at this in our morning class on Galatians. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. When we're in Christ, we are redeemed from the curse of the law. The law of Moses was unable to justify anyone, and we looked at Acts 13:39 several times in our class on Galatians. Acts 13:39, and by him, speaking of Jesus Christ here, everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses was incapable of saving anyone, so those living under the law were living under the curse or condemnation of sin. Being in Christ releases us from living under the curse of death pronounced by the law of Moses. Number four, not only are we redeemed from the curse of the law of Moses, we're redeemed from the hand of the foe, or of Satan. The word in the Greek for redeemed here, for ransom, it means to buy someone back who is being held hostage or prisoner. Our sin made us a prisoner of Satan. Satan has got a hold on us. We are his prisoners. Jesus Christ bought us back from the fate that awaits us with Satan. Excuse me. 1 Peter 1:18-23. 1 Peter 1:18-23. Starting in verse 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. That's the price that was paid. That's the price that paid the ransom for us, was the blood of Christ. Number five, another spiritual blessing that you get in Christ. We're born again. We're born again. 1 Peter 1:22-23. If you want to turn to that, 1 Peter 1:22-23. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Notice I backed up to the preceding verse. A lot of people don't take the whole context in when they're examining their beliefs and their doctrines. You back up and get the whole picture. Notice he says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That's something we have to do. Verse number 23. Having been born again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We are born again when we obey the truth. If you want to turn to John 3:5-7, we're going to learn a little bit more about this born again thing. We'll let Jesus do the talking on this. John 3:5-7. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse number 7. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Being born again is a spiritual blessing that we have through Christ. But we need to understand that that requires action on our part. We need to understand that we have a role to play in this being born again. And we also need to understand that through Jesus' words in verse 7, ye must be born again, that this is an obligation. This is not something that we is left up to our choice. We have to do this. We have to do this. This is a spiritual blessing that we can't do without. We can't skip over this one. We really can't skip over any of them. But this is one that you will see in the denominational world. Well, they'll say that you do not have to be baptized. Well, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, I don't know, you know, pretty sure that born of water has to be baptism. I don't know what else it would be. We're not talking about one's original birth here. We're talking about their rebirth. You know, I talk to a lot of people on the internet and they say, well, that's the birth of water birth whenever you're born. We're not talking about the first birth. Jesus is talking about the second one. Number six, another spiritual blessing that we have in Christ is that we are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. 2 Corinthians 5:17-18. This is Paul speaking to the church in Corinth there. Excuse me. Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, notice the conditional word, if. You have to be in Christ to get this spiritual blessing that he is getting ready to teach us about here. He is a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, which leads us into the next spiritual blessing. The two are kind of one right after the other. Reconciled to God, number seven. 2 Corinthians 5:19-20. Just keep right on going. Whenever you reached verse 18, if you're following along, let's just keep right on going. Verse 19. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Our sin caused us to be separated or alienated from God. In Christ, we have the spiritual blessing of being reconciled to Him. We are no longer rejected. We have been returned to a state of fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3. This state of fellowship with God, John talks about this in 1 John 1, starting in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. We're reconciled to God. We have fellowship again with God as a spiritual blessing of being in Christ. If you're not in Christ, you're not reconciled. Our sin caused us to lose our fellowship with God. In Christ, we're reconciled to God. We're restored. Number eight. Here's a big one. A spiritual blessing found only in Christ. We are forgiven. Colossians 2:12-13. Chapter 2, verses 12-13, Paul writes, buried with him in baptism, where also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Forgiveness. Our trespasses have been forgiven. Notice that's in the context of being buried with him in baptism. The two cannot be separated. Forgiveness as a spiritual blessing is a result of being baptized with Christ in baptism. Acts 2:38 and Acts 22:16 are both supporting scriptures for that. Spiritual blessing in Christ, number nine. We're justified. We're justified. Justified means to be declared righteous or right before God. Some of you might remember Richard Chambers when he was preaching here. He had a thing that he liked to say about this being justified. He used to say, being justified means just as if I'd never sinned. That's a real good description of that. Just as if I'd never sinned. It means to be declared right before God. Acts 13:38-39. Acts 13:38-39. Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things. Now, you're going to recognize this. from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's that same verse that we've been looking at in Acts in our study of Galatians for about the past year. And through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sin, verse 39, and by him everyone who believes is justified from all things. Justified through Christ. That's one of the spiritual blessings that we get by being in Christ. Number 10, an heir of eternal life. An heir of eternal life. We will inherit eternal life. That is a spiritual blessing found only in Christ. Titus 3, 4 through 8. Titus 3, 4 through 8. This is Paul writing to Titus here, starting in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration, that's baptism in water, and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs, according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Number 11, another spiritual blessing. We are kept in safety wherever we go. We're kept in safety wherever we go. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Romans 8, 35 through 39. Paul writes, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That does not mean that we will not face trials and persecution. He mentioned those in the very context. For your sake we are killed all the day long. What it means is that we cannot be separated from God. Period. We have to do that ourselves. If we take it upon ourselves to separate ourselves from God through disobedience, through not obeying His will, then we separate ourselves. But nothing, nothing on this earth outside of that can do it. It should give us great comfort, and that is a great spiritual blessing. It means that we are kept in Christ. Neither man nor Satan can take us away from God or force us to lose our relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 10:13, very comforting scripture. 1 Corinthians 10:13, while we're on this topic. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. In other words, it's happened to everybody. Nothing new happening here in the way of temptation. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. If something happens, if we as Christians find ourselves in a situation where we are going to be forced to sin, God has promised that He will provide a way of escape. That way of escape, we're not promised what that will be. It might be death. And many times it has been. Many, many people, Christians, were killed in the first century during the great Roman persecution. Their escape was death. But they had an escape. We are promised that nothing can force us to sin against our will. We will be provided a way of escape so that we can bear that temptation. That is a spiritual blessing that we have only in Christ. Number 12, strong in the Lord and His mighty power. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. That's a command. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice he said, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. We have a great spiritual blessing. We can be strong in the Lord in Christ. But we have a role to play in that as well. Notice Paul gave that as a command. We are commanded to be strong. And Paul went on to teach later on, if you're turned to that with me, how we obey that command. He tells them exactly how to do it. Starting in verse 14 of Ephesians 6. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The truth, God's word, righteousness, rightful living, the gospel, the good news of salvation, the faith, a system of obedience and trust in the Lord. Salvation, the word of God, which the scripture called the sword of the Spirit, watchfulness, supplication, perseverance. When we do these things, we are strong in the Lord. We have a role to play if we are going to benefit from the spiritual blessings available to us in Christ. Number 13, we are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of Christ's testimony. Revelations 12, 10 through 11. That's Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. 1 John 5, 2-5, if you want to turn to that with me. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever is born of God. How about that born again? Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. We're overcomers. Spiritual blessing. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Spiritual blessing. We are overcomers in Christ. Number 14, we are healed by Christ's wounds. 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. 1 Peter 2:21 through 25. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth. Who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously. He who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. That we might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now have returned to the shepherd and overseers of your soul. A spiritual blessing that we have in Christ is we are healed by Christ's wounds. For those of you taking notes, Peter was quoting from Isaiah 53. If you want to read that, that's verse 3 through 12. Time is growing short, so we'll skip over that. But if you want to look that up, that's Peter was quoting from Isaiah. Spiritual blessing number 15. In Christ we are saved. 1 Peter 1:9. Receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Hebrews 10:36-39. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul. We are saved. We have many spiritual blessings available to us in Christ. God has given us many, many blessings in Christ, and we need to be grateful for all of them. But we also need to understand that we have a role to fulfill in these blessings. If we are going to receive these spiritual blessings, we have a role that we have to fulfill. God doesn't do all the stuff for us. He doesn't just provide this with no obligations or expectations of us at all. These wonderful blessings that we have in Christ are conditional. They're conditional upon our obedience to the will of God. Let's go back to our original text. Blessed be, that's Ephesians 1:3, by the way. Our introductory text, let's look at it again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Since every spiritual blessing is found in Christ, that means that there are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. Those who are not in Christ are therefore outside. There's not a fence line there that you can sit on, folks. You're either in or you're out. This means the spiritual blessings given to those in Christ are denied to those outside. Those who are outside of Christ are not a child of God. They are not saved by grace through faith. They are not redeemed from the curse of the law of Moses. Those outside Christ are not redeemed from the hand of the foe. They are not born again. They are not a new creature. They are not reconciled to God. They are not forgiven. Those outside of Christ are not justified. Those outside of Christ are not an heir of eternal life. They are not kept in safety wherever they go. They are not an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of Christ's testimony. They are not healed by Christ's wounds. And those outside of Christ are not saved. Those are the spiritual blessings that I had time to present in this lesson. There are many more. But that's a lot of knots, folks. Don't you think? That's a lot of knots. That one at the last, not saved. That alone, if we didn't talk about any of the other ones, not being saved should be enough to make a person examine themselves. Take a look at themselves. Make changes where they may need to make them. With all the blessings available to us as living in Christ, why would anybody choose to live otherwise? Why would you turn this down? Why would you turn your back on all of these good things that we get? A child of God, redeemed, a new creature, reconciled, forgiven, justified, an heir of eternal life, kept in safety, you're an overcomer, and you're healed, and you're saved. Why would you not want that in your life? So how do we get into Christ? Very simple. It's not a terribly dreadful process. Number one, we have to believe. John 3:18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already. because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Number two, we have to repent. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We have to repent. We have to believe, we have to repent. We have to confess Jesus Christ before men as the Son of God. Matthew 10:32-33. This is Jesus speaking. Excuse me. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. We have to hear, we have to believe, we have to repent, and we have to confess Jesus as the Son of God. Baptism. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And we learned in the first part of the lesson that the way into Christ is through baptism. If you have not been baptized, you are not in Christ, and you're in that list of nots that we gave, that we looked at. You're in that big long list of nots. And then after we're baptized, we have to go on with continued obedience. Revelations 2:10. This is Jesus speaking to people who were living in the great Roman persecution. People who were being slaughtered for their faith. He wrote, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's how you get into Christ. You get into Christ by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. That's how you get into Christ. You get into heaven with continued obedience until you die, until death. If there is anybody here today who is subject to the invitation, if there's anybody here today who is not in Christ, if there's anybody here today that's in that list of nots, then you have an opportunity. You have an opportunity to get in, to get out of the list of nots and into the list of the blessings, the list of the blessings that we have by being in Christ. If there's anybody today that's subject to the invitation, is subject to the call, please don't delay. Make that need known, or if you don't want to walk down that aisle, you talk to me after services. One or the other, but don't continue on in the list of nots. If there's anybody here today that is subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.